I want to begin a series that will take us through the book of Philippians, okay? The Philippians series. And I want to, there are four chapters, and for next four Sundays, I want to look at a highlight from each one of those chapters in the book of Philippians. And the Philippians people were, Philippi was a city in what is now Greece, the northern part of Greece, and Macedonia. And it is, it was a real church with real people like you and me that this book was written to, and something that was said to them then, because this is God's word, is what God desires to say to us now. And we know that about the Bible, don't we? And so we're here in Philippians chapter 1. Okay. Oh, you're sorry. Thank you. I sure will. Yep. I'll switch over to here. Better. Good. Very good. So Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 6. So verse 6 is the highlight from chapter 1. Okay. And this is a very famous scripture verse. Some of you might have heard it before, where he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so here we have this word from Pastor Paul to us through me, Pastor Bob, and the description of this verse here, what's going on in this verse, this idea of a good work that's going on in our lives is aptly described in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, where Jeremiah is told by the Lord to go to the potter's house. Anybody remember that story? He's told to go to the potter's house. Because he says at the potter's house, that is to say the potter's workshop, he says to Jeremiah, I have a message to show you there. So he arrives at the potter's workshop, Jeremiah does, the prophet, and he sees the, how many of you have seen a potter's wheel? I have. And the lump of clay is on the potter's wheel, and the wheel is spinning, and he's also maneuvering, you know, just the right speed and so on. And then his hands are on that, whatever it is, you know, clay that he's shaping, and the craftsmanship that goes into it and so on. And Jeremiah sees this going on. And the word that comes to Jeremiah as he sees this going on is if there's an imperfection in the clay, the potter is able to get it out, or if need be, he's able to stop the process altogether, start the lump all over again, put it back on the wheel, let's begin again. And he says to Jeremiah, he says, this work of the potter that's going on with this clay is like the work that I'm doing in the lives of my people. And then Paul picks it up, we could say, and he says, God's doing a good work. He's begun a good work, like the potter begins a work, good work with the clay, and he's fashioning something good. And he's going to stay with it until it's done. Let's pray. Father, as we're here and we look into your word right now, I pray that we, in my voice, that we would hear your voice and that you would speak to us, that we as your people will feel fed, we feel nourished spiritually, and that we would, God, go out of this place with a new sense of confidence in you and in the work that you're doing in our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so here we are with this verse of scripture before us, and he says, I'm confident, being confident of this. And sometimes, you know, there is this lack of confidence in our lives. You know, what's God doing? Is this really God? I'll never forget one time Sandra and I were going through a trial as we were working in Mexico, and we finally made it back to the school. We had some issues at the border, and we made it back, and just all kinds of stuff. My truck had gotten stolen, got a new truck, and had an accident with the new truck, and all of this, and more things besides. We finally make it back, and one of the students, I think it was Luciano, the students that we're now supporting, they're missionaries in Mexico, they're from Argentina, he says, who was this, you know, that did all this stuff? Was it God or the devil? And I said, yes. Yes. You know, God had his hand in it to do something good. Of course, the devil had his hand in it to do something bad. And so here we are with this verse of Scripture, God doing a good work in our lives. And this is how I want to begin. I want to say that God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. Never. And so when you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, for instance, and God begins, it says, how does it begin? In the what? Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then when you come to chapter 2, it says there in chapter 2, I think it is in verse 1, it says, God, having finished his work. What he began in creation, he finished. And then you fast forward, you go all the way through to redemption. And one of the first words of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross were, who knows? It is finished. It is finished, meaning that the work of redemption that God gave him to do and so much more, he was there completing that mission that God had given to him to be our salvation. And then everything in between, creation and redemption. You'll see this, for instance, in Exodus chapter 40, where the people of Israel are commissioned by God to build a church, to build a sanctuary. And so they go through all the details. Some of you have read that. It becomes easy reading when you're doing your devotions, right? And you're reading through all of that stuff, and they built this, they built that. And it's like, yeah. And you just kind of, you know, fumble through the pages of your Bible. But then it comes to chapter 40, where it says, and in chapter 40, I believe it is, in verse 33, it says, and Moses finished all the work. And then the very next verse, in verse 34, it says, then the glory of God came. And so you see this. God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. And so we are all works in progress. I'm looking at a room full of people who are works in progress. Have you ever been told you're a piece of work? Now, you know, we won't go there, right? We won't go there. But yeah, yes, as a matter of fact, I have been. And the idea is, you know, that we are all works in progress, that we are, in fact, a better way to say it is, I'm God's work in progress. I'm his work in progress. He's working on me. He's on track to finish what he started in my life and in yours. And the reality is this, that he sees something in me that's worth his good work in my life. Of course he does. When he created me, it says that he created me how? In his image. Of course he sees something worth in me. And in that Jesus died for us, of course he sees something worth it in each of us. And so he in what he sees in me, he created me in his image. He's doing this good work in me. Now, so let's talk about it now. And so it says he has begun a good work in me. I have often thought and have even said Romans 8:28 this way. Who doesn't know Romans 8:28, right? How's it go? All things work together for... I've often said what this is working together for my bad, not for my good. Have you ever felt that way in things you're going through, things that you've gone through? It's like, yeah, God, well, you know, if this is working together for my good, it sure doesn't feel like it right now, you know. And I want to highlight this whole emphasis here is he says here, he who began what kind of work? A good work in our lives. A good work. And so he's doing something good in my life. Now, one of the things that happens, and I'll just draw you back real quick to Romans 8, 28, because, you know, we sometimes we read God's word like fortune cookies or like our daily horoscope. And never was it, how many times can I say never? Never was it intended to be read like that. Always in context. And you know as well as I do that words have meaning in context. Have you ever sent a text or received a text and it's like, what the heck? It's like just not enough is what? Being said in context, right? To really get it. I've responded before to text or gotten text and it's like, uh-oh. You know, and then more is explained, there's given more context is given. It's like, oh. And so words have meaning in context. And so when he says to us, all things work together for good to those who love God, who called according to his purpose, you got to keep it in the context of how it's written. That God's expressed purpose and the good that he means in my life is found in the next verse, Romans 8, verse 29. That what he's after is restoring in my life the image in which I have been created. And that image that I have been created and that you have been created is seen in the image of Jesus. Have you ever heard this before? Like Jesus? Or what would Jesus do? And this is what it's about. God is working a good work in my life that I might be like Jesus. Not that I would be Jesus, heavens, no, we never talk about that. But the image of God that he has made Bob in, this Bob, not that Bob, is that Bob might be like Jesus and less like Bob. My wife says amen to that. And so this is the good work. That's the context of the good work. We have to feel that. So that this is what God is after in your life and in my life, the good work. The next is this. And it's a good work, here it is, in you. It's a good work going on in you. So God is way more concerned with what's going on inside than outside of us. This is a tough one to get because we are more prone to live according to our circumstances. You know, things are good. How's life? Baby, you know. Circumstances go sour. How's life? Come over here, I'm gonna give you a punch. And we have to see that what God is after is something on the inside of us. And that here's another pitch for what I'm always after at the end of the year as I speak with you. And that is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, Todd, in verse 12, says this about the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active. And he says that Word works deep within us, on the inside of us, to go to depths on the inside of our motives, inside of our attitudes, and work there in such a way like no other power can work and changes us into the image of Jesus. No other power can do that. The Word does that. The Word does that. And so, my plug again, do devotions daily. What did I say? 3D, get into the Word. And that Word will get into you and do something like nothing else can do in your life. Now, here's the deal with this in you. And this, I'll be honest with you, I don't like this about God. I don't. He will allow things on the outside of you to fall apart so he can bring together what's broken on the inside of you. Now I say I don't like that because it doesn't feel good. You know, it's like what we heard this morning, you know, it's like the 7.5 years, you know, we watched Bobby and Allison, of course, live through that, and, you know, they ate a lot of hot dogs at home. You know, friends going out to eat all the time, you know, what are they doing? They're eating at home. Allison gets out, they work all day. Allison works all day, busy, comes home, she cooks, you know, and not going out to eat. Well, you know, it's like, doesn't feel very good, but at the end of 7 years, you got something to show for it, you know. And it's like the same thing here with God allowing things in our lives to fall apart. How many of you have experienced that? Absolutely. And if this can be encouraging to you, and it doesn't feel good, but he allows, here's something that you have to know. He never stands idly by when things are falling apart. He is not indifferent. He is not indifferent to our sufferings. He's not indifferent. But he will allow things to fall apart in our lives because way more important to him is what's going on the inside of us, you know? And you know, I had this thing going on the inside of me where Sandra was just getting to me. 40 years of marriage, can you imagine? You know, and finally she put me over the edge, no. But there was this thing, you know, and so I was bringing it to the Lord in prayer. And I said, Lord, there's this thing with my wife. He's going to help me. He's going to fix her for me. Oh, that's my attitude. That was my attitude in prayer. You say, when did this happen? Maybe 3 weeks ago. Okay? This whole thing, exchange. And I said, Lord, and I committed the thing to him, and I said, God, you got to change her. And I heard the Lord say to me, if he would have said it in an audible voice, it would have been no more assurance that it was directly from him. He said this. He said, This I'm allowing this in her life and in your relationship that you would learn to love her more perfectly. Now what that has to do with something deep inside of me, you understand? That he was way more concerned with this annoyance that's going on in the outside of our marriage, we'll say, that he might get at something deep within me to love her more perfectly. And what's it say? Husbands, love your wives is what? Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Where did he give himself for her? Love, it's like, God, I got to love her more perfectly. I mean, I got to put up with this. I got to deal with this. And in the middle of putting up with it and dealing with this, I got to love her kindly. God, you're asking an awful lot. What does that mean, God? He says, here. Is this a good fit for you, Bob? Rulowitz? You know? It's like, boy, God, it's not very comfortable. He says, oh, after it breaks in a while, it'll feel a little bit better. You know? But do you get the point? Where is he working? In you. It's like, God, why this relationship with this person right now? It's like, God, you know, why in these things that happened in our lives, and it's not all bad, but these things in our lives, and it's like what God is after is in me. And we think, oh, my happiness is so dependent upon the outside things in my life. And it's not. It's dependent on how it is that I am on the inside. You know, how I am in here. If I only had $1 million. You know, and we think that, you know. But if you don't have that on the inside, it'll ruin you. You know, it'll ruin you. Things do not buy happiness; they're outside. And then the last one is this. The first was, and it's a good work, God's doing something good. He's working in my life. It's the image of Jesus. God is doing something good in me. You know, C.S. Lewis put it this way with the good. I just remembered this. He said, we were created creatures of God. The good work that God is doing in my life is making us into sons and daughters of God. Ooh, that's just good. And so it's a good work where? In us. What happens on the outside? Mm-mm. Listen, Jesus went so far as to say this. He said, if your right hand offends you, what did he say to do to it? Cut it off. It's the outside. Now, it's hyperbole. It's hyperbole, okay? You understand? It's an intended exaggeration to make a point. So don't go, you know, pastor said, right, I just went home and chopped my arm off because pastor said, hey, you know, I gave someone the unchristian finger, and so I'm chopping my, this is the Christian, one way is the Christian finger, right? You know the other one. And so chop it off. No, that's not what we're talking about. And then he says, and it's a good work in you, and he is committed to carry it on. You see what it says there? He's committed to carry it on. Now, here's the thing about God. He's on to you. I mean, he's on to you. He is relentless that he is committed to making this happen in your life and in mine. This is what he's after. You say, oh, God, you know, it's like you pray, oh, God, I just want to be happy. God says, I can hook you up. And then he starts working in our lives. And you say, God, this isn't what I had in mind at all. I was expecting what? The wash machine never to break down. The kids always to get good reports from school. Come on, right? Come on, am I talking straight here? You know, and you talk about promotions at work, I'm just going up, up, and up. And then the opposite happens. The wash machine breaks down, issues with the kids at school, and I'm going down, down, down. And it's like, God, you're kidding me. I've asked for happiness. He says, by these things, I'm doing something in your life that I'm carrying out a good work in your life that ultimately is going to bless your life. What does bless mean? Happy. Yeah. And he's relentless. God is relentless. It's like, okay, God, enough. You can stop now. You know, it's like going to the dentist for a root canal. And he's down there. Have you ever had a root canal? I've had root canals where the dentist has been in my mouth up to his elbows. I'm not kidding you. It's like, whoa, baby. this is good. And it's like, so he's halfway through. And I say, okay, enough now. You can stop. What kind of doctor would he be if he stopped? What kind of doctor would he be if he stopped? It's like, sorry, Bob, to pay no attention to you, I got to drill this baby out. And off goes the drill. Don't you just love that sound? Zzzz. You know? Ooh. You know? And so God, he's relentless. He's going to carry it on. He's going to carry it on. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. With being a work in progress, he's relentless, he'll carry it on. He'll bring you around again and again and again. He does not expect a perfect score the first time around, the second time around, the third time around, you know. It's like, maybe it's like you say, well, Bob, you know, you've been married 40 years and you're not there yet. And loving your wife? No. Not there yet. You know? But he keeps bringing me around to this thing. Why? He put it perfectly. Bob, I'm doing this in your life so you can learn to love her more perfectly. And so he keeps till he gets it right. You understand? Till he gets it right in our lives. Carries it on. I'm done. And I want to finish with my all-time favorite. I don't care how many times I brought you to this, I bring you to it again. He will carry it on. He's doing a good work in you. I end with one of my favorites from this. Sandra, for Christmas a few years ago, bought me a new C.S. Lewis Mere Christianity book. But I still have to go back to this one because I know where everything is marked. He says, this is why we must not be surprised. This is God doing a good work in our lives. He says, this is why we must not be surprised if we are in for a rough time. When a person turns to Christ and seems to be getting on well, pretty well, in the sense that some of his bad habits are now corrected, he or she often feels that it would now be a natural if things went fairly smoothly from now on. And then when troubles come along, illnesses, money troubles, new kinds of temptations, the person becomes disappointed. These things, he feels, might have been necessary to awaken him and make him repent. But now why? I'm serving Jesus. You know, I'm going to church. And even if I weren't doing those things, my heart is toward God. I want him in my life. He says, why are these things happening? He says, because. Because God is forcing you on or up to a higher level. He says, God is putting you into a situation where he will, or God is putting you into a situation where perhaps you might have to be a little bit more brave or more patient or more loving than you ever dreamed or thought could happen in your life. You ever pray for more love and then God puts somebody in your life that's hard to love? It's like it was the devil. This is my favorite part of this, and then we'll pray. It seems to us all unnecessary, doesn't it? Just wave the magic wand, for crying out loud, God. What the heck's going on? You're God. Wave a magic wand. Presto changeo, I'm like Jesus. Right? Presto changeo, I'm like Jesus. It's done. Yeah, he did. He did. He says, seems to us unnecessary. He says, but that is because we have not yet had the slightest notion of the tremendous thing he means to make of us. I love that. We don't have the slightest notion. See, it's a good work. And what he means to make of us is so incredible, so far superior than any of the thoughts, the good thoughts that we think of what we're becoming. Oh, let's stand together. And so it's a good work that he's doing in your life and in mine. He's working in you. Father, we praise you for your word. And Lord, I bless your people now and I pronounce blessing upon them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.